Hi, thanks for listening to the It's Not Just One Thing podcast series from Physio My Dog. I'm Harriet Kitkat and I'm from Physio My Dog. I'm a vet physiotherapist specialising in dogs, but I'm also a dog owner myself, and I'm also incredibly nosy and interested in knowing more and more about what we can do as dog owners, but also as therapists as to what we can do to help dogs. So I hope you find this series useful.
This is Harriet from Physio My Dog. How are you doing? Okay, so I'm going to wrap up this mini series with a general osteoarthritis podcast. So I'm really, really hoping that you've enjoyed listening to these podcasts, not just because you're listening to me, but hopefully you've enjoyed learning a little bit more. I find, you know, learning so helpful because, and that was one of the reasons I wanted to spend, you know, quite a few hours now putting this podcast series together, because I just find that once we have an understanding of something, once we know a bit more, it can really help us make decisions. You know, I have been that person that was told that my dog had a certain condition. I had to make a decision and I didn't know what to do because I just didn't have enough knowledge. And, you know, that could be quite scary. It can be quite upsetting sometimes. It can be quite daunting, especially if you're having to maybe make the decision on your own. Maybe it's just you and your dog, and you know, you kind of, you know, you're sitting in a surgery somewhere, and you're being told, or you're maybe on the phone, you've had a phone call, and you know, you're like, okay, so these are your options, what do you want to do? And sometimes it's like, I don't know, I need some time to think about it, I need to digest the information. You know, never feel pressure to make a decision there and then, unless it's life or death, obviously. But, you know, there are so many reasons why we have to make decisions, and what is right for your dog isn't necessarily going to be right for somebody else's. So try not to worry too much about, or maybe try not to compare too much about, you know, if your dog has been given a certain diagnosis or you suspect something, and then, you know, you talk to somebody else and they go, oh yeah, my dog had that and we did this, so do this because that's definitely going to work. You know, there are so many different things that help some dogs and some things that just don't as much. And it's the same as humans. You know, sometimes people swear by certain things. They swear by certain foods, or they swear by certain activities or certain sports, or, you know, we are all so, so different. And it's really important that we remember that. And also people's circumstances are different. You know, if you've got certain, maybe you are some restrictions about how you can make decisions. Maybe there are some time restrictions or financial restrictions. You know, there are so many different things. There's so many different factors. And it also depends on the general health of your dog as to what other things are going on with them. So never, ever, ever give yourself a hard time. Hopefully, I hope that gives you some comfort, because I wish that someone had told me things like that, because I know that would have helped me. So I hope that this is, you know, this hopefully helps you you a little bit. So this whole little mini series kind of came about because when I was talking to a few of my clients, and I was asking also for some feedback towards the end of last year, because I'm a big believer in like asking for feedback, because that's how we can improve how we do and what we do and all that kind of stuff. And someone said, oh, you know, can we just learn a little bit more about some of the conditions? And I was like, oh God, yeah, I can wax lyrical. I can, not a problem for me to do that. So it's been really lovely. And like I was saying, the reason I did the podcast series was because so many people were sharing some of the posts that I was doing on certain conditions. And it was just really, and so many people messaged me or put comments, or they sent me messages and sort of said, oh my goodness, yes, my dog has this, can you help me? Or, you know, thank you so much, this is really useful, and all that kind of stuff. It just, you know, it warms my heart to think that, you know, we're able to, I'm helping other people. That's what's so lovely. I'm just, and it's not about me. It's more about, you know, knowing that other dog owners are being able to use some knowledge to make their dogs' lives hopefully a lot better. So well done you guys for listening, and thank you to anyone that's actually stayed the course and listened to all of this whole series. I applaud you to listening to me, because like normally I try and interview other people, so you're not just listening to my voice. So thank you. Okay, so this is just, I just wanted to do like a general one on osteoarthritis, because I'm thinking that maybe people might listen to this one first and then think, oh, okay, actually maybe I need a bit more information about some of the other kind of conditions or what have you. So So yeah, so that's why I kind of thought I would just do a general one on osteoarthritis. And then as I say, if you want to learn more or want to understand more, then you can, obviously you can do that. And you know, it's not like I'm the only person that can tell you about this. There's lots of really useful information out there. I just hope that some of the stuff that I'm able to kind of pass along to you guys is helping you kind of, you know, direct you, should I say, to you know, to some other resources, and then it can kind of help equip you with, you know, maybe have different conversations with your vet, or maybe you want to be referred to somebody or whatever it may be. So that's really the whole point of this. Okie dokie. Right, so a general one about arthritis. Okay, so osteo means bone and itis means inflammation. So when you've got osteoarthritis, it's basically inflammation around, you know, near a bone or the bone type thing. So, but the thing to remember about arthritis is that there are other types of arthritis. So osteoarthritis is the most common, so that's why some people just shorten it to arthritis. But actually there are some other types of arthritis. So there's like rheumatoid arthritis, there's like immune mediator type stuff. And the septic arthritis as well. So there are some other types, it's just that arthritis, or osteoarthritis, I should say, is the most common and most seen, most likely most seen, but certainly the most, you know, the most common out there. Okay, so I'll start whittling on. So there's a high chance that dogs will get it at some point in their lives, as it is in humans. I was reading something the other day, or heard something fairly, well, I say the other day, it was probably quite a while ago now, but in that, in humans, it's normally the thumb that we start to get that's the first place quite often that we start to get arthritic changes. And it, you know, it's not a death sentence. I think that's the most important thing. And I remember not understanding a lot about arthritis, and suddenly I heard that word when I was told that Jensen would get it. And I didn't understand that he was going to get it as part of his surgery. And I was like, oh my God, that's going to make him, you know, he was only like 3. And I was thinking, oh my God, he's going to, you know, that's an old person's disease. It's an old person, it's an old dog, it's an old animal's condition. And that's kind of, I mean, yes, older dogs can get it. So there's so many different types of stats out there. But, you know, one of the stats is that, you know, 80% of dogs over the age of 8 will get arthritis, or has arthritis, I should say. And you know, I mean, I've seen arthritis in dogs that are under 1 year old, like literally a few months old. So it can happen at any age. And I think that's the really important thing to remember, is that there are lots of different reasons why we get, why dogs, animals, human, different, whoever it may be, get arthritis. But it's understanding that, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this particular podcast. So the primary reasons, really, the primary causes is really ultimately the aging process. So we get old, there's more wear and tear, that body part has been used more, in which case, you know, arthritic changes. And I'll explain what arthritis is in a second, as in what physically happens. But you know, that's the primary cause. It's just getting old. You know, I'm 50 this year, so you know, if I was scanned, I'm sure arthritis would be popping up in all sorts of places. So it's inevitable, you know. And it's the same with our animals. Unfortunately, we get old, they get arthritis. Now that's like a, you know, as I say, that's more of a form of the natural aging process. Now the one that maybe all the secondary causes, which comes under sort of a big umbrella, but that's what I've done all the separate podcasts episodes on, is that there are secondary causes to it, and that's by different conditions. So we've done things on elbow dysplasia, we've done hip dysplasia, we've done luxate and patella, we've done cruciate ligament, we've done meniscus, we've done spondylosis, I don't think I've forgotten one. So they are all conditions, they are all traumas of some sort of a joint. Now if there's any kind of trauma or any kind of traumatic event that's happened to a joint, that will mean that if there isn't already arthritis in that joint, then there will be. So that's why osteoarthritis is such a big topic. If you want to check out canine arthritis management, it's a fantastic, it started off as like a Facebook thing, and now it's got a whole website and what have you. So there's a whole load of information on there. It's run by a lovely vet called Hannah Capon. I think that's how I say her surname. C-A-P-O-N. And, you know, there's a whole, I mean, that it's just, it's massive, this whole website. And the resources on there are fantastic. But so the point of this podcast was just to give you like a real quick sort of summary stroke overview. So what actually happens when you look at, if you were to look at a joint, when you see a nice healthy joint, you get this lovely, so say you've got like a knee joint, for instance, you look at it and it's like, it's got all this lovely, like smooth cartilage, all looks lovely. It's all fluid. It's lots of, there's lots of fluid there. There's lots of moisture. There's lots of harmony, shall we say. It looks lovely. Everything's doing what it should be doing. And then the body kind of has some kind of traumatic event or wear and tear or whatever it may be. And then the body goes, okay, I need to try and stabilize this joint. I'm going to grow some extra bits of bone. So it does this. It does, it grows this kind of extra bits of bone. And I'm really, can I just say, I'm actually, this is not a medical, this is not a particularly medical kind of breakdown. This is kind of layman's terms. This is how I like to try and initially digest information, and then I can get my head around the more detailed side of things. But ultimately, you start to get a wear and tear type event going on, a degrading, shall we say, of that joint. And so that lovely smooth cartilage that used to be a nice cushion in between whatever joint that we're talking about, it then, that cartilage starts to disappear, starts to go away. You've got these extra bits of bone coming through. And then eventually, when that lovely, beautiful cartilage is gone, you start to get this kind of bone on bone type activity. And that's what can become really, really painful when you've got bone on bone. So that is a really, really quick overview of what's going on. Again, if you want to Google it, there's lots of like different diagrams. If you want to get into the nitty-gritty of what it actually physically looks like, again, it can help us understand. But ultimately, the reason I wanted to kind of do a really bad job of explaining it is because I just wanted to be really, really clear that there's different ways that we can get arthritis. You can get it from different conditions, which I've already mentioned, or you can get it just as part of the wear and tear. So it's inevitable, like it is in most animals, as it is in most humans, that there will be wear and tear on a body, and then, you know, that will involve arthritic changes. And depending on how we manage it will be dependent on how painful it is. And again, once we have a bit more of an understanding of how severe it is, so that obviously the more severe, potentially the more painful it's going to be. And so you're going to start to then have more compensatory changes. So depending on where it is in the body, if it's in the back end of the dog's body, then it's going to be throwing its weight forwards. It's going to be overusing that front end a lot more. You're going to have a whole knock-on effect of how that whole body is coping with it. If it's in the front end, it could be in the neck, you know, it could be in the head, it could be all along the spine, who knows where it is. As I say, I'm being very general here, but anything front end, and we know that dogs naturally carry more of their body weight on the front end. So again, if you've listened to some of the other podcasts, I've been talking about, you know, the whole textbook thing where, you know, it's 30% in each front limb, about 20% in each hind limb. So in theory, 60% body weight front end, 40% back end. That's textbook. But if you've got issues in either one of those ends, then they're going to change how they shift, how they use their body. And guess what? You can have it in more than one area. So you could, so for instance, I'll use Jensen, the furry love of my life, as an example here. So he had a cruciate ligament disease and he had surgery. So he had that on his back right leg. If you were listening to the spondylosis podcast, we then discovered that he had spondylosis in his spine. Now, it's a bit of a chicken and egg one, because I always wonder whether the spondylosis was there before his cruciate ligament. His cruciate ligament disease started, because I'm thinking, well, what did one cause the other? Who knows? We'll never know, because we only had that snapshot in time. But so he had, as I say, he had cruciate ligament in his back right. He had spondylosis, the beginning of that, in he had like one bridge, if you like, along his spine. That was like in his lower lumbar. He then started to have arthritic changes in his elbows. Now, unfortunately, he passed away at age 5 years old. nothing to do with arthritis. I have to make that very, very clear. It was something completely unrelated. But he had, you know, arthritic changes in different parts of his body at the age of, well, when we found that out, he was, what, 3.5? Now, I don't know how long those things have been there for, but it just goes to show it's not necessarily going to be one part of the body that's going to be affected. It can happen, arthritic changes can happen in lots of different places. So I'm really trying not to make these too long, these little short things. So just, but that's hopefully a bit of an overview that, you know, there's different causes, lots of different causes, aging process being one of them. There's lots of different ways that, and it can happen in lots of different parts of the body, but your dog will be telling you in the way that they are behaving or in the way that they are moving that there is something going on in there. So if you start to see changes or you are already seeing changes, please, 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 please do not ignore them. So my top tip for this is go and speak to somebody about it. Say, you know, whether it's a vet, go and see your vet first. Or if you're already working with maybe a therapist of some sort, then, you know, raise your concerns with them, or they would most likely already be spotting some of those changes anyway. But maybe you're starting to notice something different and you want to make sure that you want to be telling your therapist that actually, yes, do you know what, I'm noticing something else now. Because it is a progressive condition, okay? So it doesn't just disappear. We don't just take a magic pill and it's all gone. It is progressive, but we can do lots of things about it. Okay, so it's not like, oh my goodness, I just have to take, you know, some anti-inflammatory medication. That's all my dog has. There are so many different things that we can do. So say point number one, remember it can happen at any part of the body. Point number two, remember it can happen at any age and it can happen in any breed. Some breeds are slightly more predisposed to it, but ultimately it's kind of an any dog type condition. Please know that there are different ways that it happens. So it's not just aging, it's different conditions that will be the cause of arthritis or arthritic changes. And you know, look for the changes in your dog. Look at the way they're behaving. Are they snapping more? Are they becoming more grumpy? You know, there's normally a reason that these things are changing in our dogs. And so it's their way of communicating. So start to look at different ways that they're behaving, different ways that they're moving. And also, so if you suspect it or you already know that they are arthritic, then start to think about, I mean, with my nutrition hat on now, start to look at their diet, okay? So arthritis is an inflammatory kind of condition. So look at how much inflammation type foods they're eating. Now again, Google inflammatory foods, non-inflammatory foods, and that will give you an idea. Then you can start to look at what is in your dog's food. If you look up the ingredients and one of the you know, the biggest ingredients is rice, you know, that's carbohydrate. Dogs don't need that kind of starch in their diet. So that's a lot more inflammatory. So start to look at what kind of food your dogs are eating, how much inflammatory type ingredients are in there. Look at your dog's weight. I've mentioned this on quite a few of the podcast episodes now. So please do not let your dog get overweight. If they're overweight, get that weight off. Okay. Now that I know that's easy for me to say and it's sometimes harder to do, but please, please don't just accept that your dog's a bigger dog, is bigger boned and all the rest of it. Yes, bigger dogs can still be a good body condition. So it's not about what they weigh on the scales. It's what about their body condition. So again, look up body condition scoring. It's online. It's really easily available. It's scored out of 1 out of 9. Look that up. And don't just think as well that, oh, you can just give them a supplement and that's your job done. Okay, there's lots of different changes that we can make to our dogs' lives, which don't all cost money. That's another really important thing. Not everything has to cost money. Okay, so there's lots of different things that we can do. So there's home modifications, easy home modifications we can make. There's some exercise modifications that we can make. So this is about without you've even paid, you know, this is without even paying anyone for this information. So there's lots of things we can do from that perspective. But obviously I'm speaking as a physio now, so there's lots of different therapeutic devices that we can use. There's therapeutic exercises we can do. There's lots of different manual therapies we can try. So there's not just try, do, you know, actually perform in your dog. So there's lots and lots and lots of things. And that's just from a physio perspective. I haven't touched on all the other therapies out there that are available. So I know I've gone over slightly more than the normal 15 minutes, but it's a real passion of mine because I see people's faces, their hearts sink a little bit sometimes when they're told their dogs have got arthritis. And and they kind of panic, or they kind of like shrug their shoulders and think there's nothing you can do. Well, it's an old dog, that's just the way it is. And it's like, no, they can still lead a beautiful life, okay? It doesn't have to be, you know, the end of the world for them. They can still enjoy things. There's still lovely things that we can do with our dogs. We just have to make some changes, and they don't always have to be dramatic. And the earlier we get in there, the better. Okay, I'm going to stop talking now because you're probably fed up listening to me. But I really hope you guys have enjoyed this. I would love some feedback from you. If you want to send me a message, or if you can actually reply, I think, directly on through the Anchor platform. But either way, I would love your feedback. I would love your thoughts. And if you want any more information on anything of any of these episodes, then please reach out. Take care, guys. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to the It's Not Just One Thing That Will Help Your Dog podcast. I really hope you've enjoyed it and found it useful. If you'd like any more information about anything that we've been discussing, please contact me. You can find my website by googling Physio My Dog. You can also look me up on Facebook and Instagram under the same name, Physio My Dog. I look forward to hearing from you.